Greetings and welcome back to Vayikra, the podcast project in which we investigate different angles and perspectives of the Parashot and Sefer Vayikra, five mini podcasts per week and per parasha. And this brings us to the end of our analysis, what we have this week of Parashat Tzav. And in the previous podcasts, we explored and discussed, I raised the questions about the Korban Chatat, why the Chatat is presented the way it is, why it seems to be something of a shadow of the Korban Olah, and takes on the aspects of a full Korban Olah in the case of the Chataot HaPlimiot. And why it is that particular kinds of sins obligate one to bring a Chatat, which the way that I'm suggesting is almost as if the Torah is obligating us to bring the Olah, which is essentially a voluntary Korban. So if we look at the way that the halakha develops our understanding of the chatat, based on the fact that the model of the korban chatat in Parshat Shlach is Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Midrash halakha says, Ma Avodah Zarah, b'mezid chayav karet, b'shogeg chayav chatat. So Avodah Zarah is the model, it is something for which you are chayav karet, if you do it intentionally, if you do it inadvertently, it is chatat. So therefore, the rule is, any of the averot for which you would get karet, if you did them intentionally, and they're all listed, all 36 are listed at the beginning of Masachet Kretot, if you did them unintentionally, then you would be chayav chatat. So chilul Shabbat, malacha or violating Yom Kippur, the Tanit of Yom Kippur, the Inui of Yom Kippur, many of the Arayot, eating Chelev, eating Dam, many things related to the Mikdash, are all Chayav Karet, and therefore if done Bishogeg, which means a certain lack of awareness. It does not mean Ones, it does not mean that you were forced into doing something, or you did something while you were tripping over something, you fell and started a fire on Shabbat, or that it was something you were doing while sleepwalking. You have to be aware of what you're doing, to intend to do what you're doing, but not aware that it's a violation of the law. Masachet Kretot and Hilchot Shkagot and the Rambam go into great detail as to what the nature of of Shogeg is. But those are the things that you're chayav chatat for. So why would that be the case? So I'd like to suggest that as opposed to the asham, which is a very specific korban, not only specific in that it only attaches to five different violations, two of which are not even violations, they're status issues of nazir and mitzora, two of which are violations that are or could be intentional, Shifcha Harufa and Asham Gzelot, and one of them, which by definition must be Bishogeg, which is Mi'ilot, and then there's the Asham Talui, which is its own category. Not only that, but the Korban Asham is very specific in what kind of animal it is. It has to be a ram, it has to be worth, in some cases, two Ma'akesef, much more specific than at least the way the Chatat is presented. And yet the Chatat, again, is broader, because the only case where we're told explicitly to bring a Chatat is Avodah Zarah, and then we're told in a very generic way, if a person forgets and was unaware, if the Kohen Mashiach is unaware, etc., that's a Chatat. What is the thinking here? So if we take a look through Sefer Vayikra, and I suggested this in the opening shiur of Vayikra, you take a look and you'll see that the first half of Sefer Vayikra, really more than the first half, all the way through Perek Tet Zayin, through the middle of Achrimot, is all focused around the Mishkan. But the concern, beginning from Perek Yod Aleph on, is about Tum'ata Mishkan, things which will make the Mishkan Tameh, and will then endanger the presence of the Shechina in the camp. And that includes Tum'at Behema, Tum'at Yoledet, Tumat Tzara, Tumot HaYotzei Migufo, etc. And then the culmination of that entire sequence is Kaparat HaMishkan, Taharat HaMishkan, and that is Avodat Yom HaKippurim, Yechaper Alav Achat Bashana, and there's an entire prescription of how to cleanse the Mishkan, as it were, from the Tumot, Mitumot Bnei Yisrael, Pishayim L'chol Chatotam. Why does it say Pishayim L'chol Chatotam in that context in Achrimot? because it means that even those things that are done inadvertently still spread a certain kind of tum'ah. A person is aware of what he's doing, but not aware that it's a violation. That is a lapse either in consciousness or in knowledge. Either you're not paying attention to the implications of what you're doing, or you haven't properly studied what it means to be in Machane Yisrael, what it means to be in this holy camp with the Shekhinah among you, and how you have to safeguard it. What are the laws? So in one way or another, you failed. You failed to maintain the level of consciousness necessary to live in such an amazing environment. And so as a result of that, what happens? Well, if you did it intentionally, the punishment is karet. So that tells you that those particular violations, which carry with them the punishment of karet, carry with them a threat of cutting you off from the Shekhinah in the camp. And it's interesting to note that many of them have to do with arayot. Two that have to do with food are dam and chelev, which I've pointed out several times in these podcasts, are things that belong to the Mizbeach. The prohibition of dam and chelev is rooted in the fact that they are the part of the korban, every korban that goes on the Mizbeach. And that's who, to whom it belongs, which is why chelev chaya is mutar, because a chaya doesn't go on the Mizbeach. It also has to do with other violations of the Mizbeach, such as mefatem et hashemen. Fatem et haktoret, if you try to imitate the Shemen HaMishcha or the Ktoret outside or use it for your own purposes, there's a karet. Because a violation of the Mikdash. And somebody violates the sanctity of the Mikdash, either by his acting in a way that spreads the Tum'ah, that threatens the presence of the Shekhinah, notably with Arayot, or because he violates the sanctity of the Mikdash, or, as Heschel beautifully said, the Mikdash in time, which is Chilul Shabbat, and of course the granddaddy of it all is Avodah Zarah, he is disconnecting himself from the Shekhinah. Done intentionally, it carries karet. So if you have a particular act that, if done intentionally, would carry karet, what are the implications of doing it by accident? Again, an accident or an inadvertent act which still has a smattering of responsibility because you were aware of what you were doing, you just weren't aware that it was asur. It seems that somebody who acts in that way is also threatening to cut himself off from the Shekhinah. So what does the Torah obligate him to do? The Torah obligates him to bring the korban that otherwise is voluntarily brought by someone who wants to come close. Somebody who is otherwise not distanced at all, wants to come close, it's the olah. Somebody who has pushed himself away or has allowed himself to drift away, the Torah is now obligating him to clean that up and to come close again. And so therefore you bring a korban, and this korban is a shadow of an olah. It's not as glorious as an olah. Because if it were an olah, it would totally go up to God. It would be a glorious olah if it was coming from man's own free will. But the fact that this person is now responding to his own failure means it's going to be a shadow of an olah. And as such, it doesn't all go up on the Mizbeach. The Kohanim eat it, as we pointed out in a previous podcast, as an extension of the Mizbeach. It's a broader Mizbeach. But there are particular chataot, which evidently are so severe that they necessitate bringing the korban in, the dam inside, which clearly indicates some very great severity of the sin. And as a result of that, is fully treated like an olah. And therefore it's all burnt up. But it's not treated like an olah, because it's not burnt up inside the azarah, it's burnt up outside the city. So there's something, again, degrading about it relative to the olah, degrading to the person. Now, in what cases do we have a chatat pnimit? So the famous cases are Kohen Gadol, who does a chait that would involve karet, and the specifics are really if he rules for himself in an area of karet and then acts on that errant ruling. If Beit Din does the same, so with certain levels of leadership. And, of course, the Parvaseir Shel Yom HaKippurim, which, of course, carry the greatest severity because they're all about cleansing the Mikdash from the Tumah. And so therefore we understand why the Torah tells us, where do you slaughter the chatat? Not on the north. You slaughter it. It is the north, but it doesn't say it that way. Where do you slaughter it? You slaughter it Mkom asher tishachet ha'ola. Because the chatat is a shadow of the ola. And that's why the halacha of chatat pimit is mentioned in Sav, and that's why the halacha, excuse me, of the location of the shechita is mentioned in Sav, because this is a directive to the Kohanim. Kohanim understand that when you're bringing chatat, it has the severity of the ola. It has the same goal as the ola, which is to help that person who brought it can reconnect with God, but reconnect as opposed to connect, or as opposed to intensify connection. It's to bridge a gap. And therefore, you, the Kohen, must be very careful to maintain proper vigilance and proper focus when doing this avodah, because that's exactly what it is you're doing. You're functioning as someone who's bringing an olah, but in a much more dangerous situation. Not just someone who wants to come close, but somebody who needs to reconnect, who needs to, if you will, escape the potential karet that he put himself into. Okay, we'll pick it up over the course of Chol HaMoed a little bit with a few mini podcasts on Parshat Shmini. We'll go from there. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day and a Chag Kasher Sameach.